Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is a section of Scripture in which the Apostle Paul is instructing his children. And we see that Timothy is being commended here to carry on the work of the Lord. And I want to read the whole section to you because I want you to see the context in which the Word of God is proclaimed to be the Word of God and to for Timothy to preach that Word. Here then, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into the households and capture the weak, burdened with sins and lead astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. They will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. You, however, Timothy, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in which you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, equipped for every good work. And I would say to you that at the end of the reading of that Scripture, our concern this morning will be the nature of the Word of God. The Word of God. And of course, how is a man equipped for every good work in Christ? The Scriptures are plain that that which equips a person in the Lord equips them for every good work in serving the Lord is the Scriptures themselves, the Word of God. And I draw that to your attention first and foremost. Against, I will not deal with the first part of this chapter 3 with regard to the godlessness of the last days, but I want you to see the backdrop in which the Word of God, as the Word of God, is placed. It seems to me that as the Apostle Paul describes all of that background of a description of godliness in those last days, it is opposed to the nature of the Word of God in the life of the believer that sanctifies and leads away from godlessness to godliness. And so Timothy is given this exhortation concerning the Scriptures and the nature of Scriptures and the importance of them against the backdrop of that godlessness of the last days. So I would say that the foundation of God's Word in my life and your life becomes ever more important in the area of sanctification and God's purposes to lead us away from those things, that our life might contrast those things that are described in the world. I like the little passage in Scripture said in Peter that says, for too long we have lived the way of the world. And Peter calls those Christians to live, to be called out and to live differently. Recently, we had the experience to go to Kentucky to see the Ark Experience. And it had a profound effect in my heart and in my life. And I'll tell you how it impacted me. And as it relates to this verse this morning, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, equipped for every good work. Here is what struck me as I was confronted with the description in Genesis of the ark. Now, it's one thing to read it in Scripture, and but I tell you, it is interesting to behold the thing as attempted to be reconstructed by man according to the Word of God. And it was quite fascinating to see. And I suppose that many people would call the accounts of Genesis a myth or a fairy tale or far from the truth. But you know what I discovered is that when I went to that attraction of the ark and the way it was designed and put together and how Scripture was used, you know what happened to me? I was drawn closer into Scripture and the truth of it. And I thought to myself, as these who had thought through it so carefully and were very honest about some of the license they took to show, but it was there according to the proportions of the Word of God and how it had done and according to the truth of God's Word. And it's like one fella said to me afterwards, he said, you know, this began to make sense to me. That this could have really happened. And what I saw in that man was a drawing that, based on the truth of God's Word, these believers were trying to present something as Scripture presents it and laying out the case for the truth of it. And by the way, it was effective. And here is what I came away with. I came away with this, that if a person starts out with a wrong foundation of truth, where will they end up? If we start out with the wrong presupposition at first about life, where will we most likely end up? Most likely, if we begin on a false premise, we will end on a what? A false premise. And it spoke to me about the Christian being given the Word of God as a foundation of truth on which you can build your life. And not just in minor parts, but as the Scriptures speak, they are of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. Tells us where the Scriptures came from. Where the Bible, the Word of God, came from. It came from out of the very life of God. It was God breathed. It also tells us that the effect of that word in our lives is this. It is God breathed. It is profitable. I like that. It is profitable for teaching. That would have a great application for today, wouldn't it? For teaching. Scriptures that are God-breathed are profitable for teaching. How many of you got a good education? Did you get a good education? How good an education can the Word of God give a person those essential things that they need for life? Not only for teaching, but what about reproof? Reproof is to turn back from the direction that one might be going that could be worse. Reproof is kind of an exhortation to turn and not go that far. Reproof is something very important for family members in training their children, isn't it? Reproof. Now, honey, I don't want you to do this because if you do this, this could be the result, and you don't want that result. So reproof is to turn us back. Reproof is to help us in the direction that we might be going that's not so good, and the Scriptures speak to us to help us to get back on track and not continue to go down that path. For correction. Well, now, the Bible is good for correction. Would you say that our society has a need for appreciation of policemen and law and order? I happen to think that the Scriptures are quite able to give us guidelines from God about correction. How are we to discipline? How are we to deal with those things in life that challenge us? And correction is very important, for our gospel begins out with correction, doesn't it? Isn't the gospel of Jesus that we proclaim, is it not a correcting gospel? Is it not a word that speaks to our heart, and the Holy Spirit takes that, and when we first come to Christ, doesn't He convict us of our sin and of the necessity of repentance to turn for correction? The Word of God is profitable. The gospel is accurate with regard to its principles of correction and for training in righteousness. You hope to have a good career. You hope to serve the Lord faithfully, and training in righteousness. I like that, training in righteousness. We are righteous by the blood of Christ, but I like the concept of progressive sanctification, that there is a training in righteousness that God works in us, making us after Christ more and more. And I like the conclusion that the result of it is that the man of God might be complete, equipped for every good work. Going back, we see the Word of God as laying for us a solid foundation. And I thought that if these scientists, if these folks who did the ark can take the Word of God and use the Word of God and even deduce from Scripture accurately what they think that it was like, if the Scriptures are accurate even in those aspects of reality, my dear friends, how much more specific do you think God would be in His purposes of proclaiming Christ in the Scriptures? What I mean by that is, if the Word of God, when God breathed out and these men were moved by the Holy Spirit, Peter tells us they were moved by the Holy Spirit to record the Word of God, the veracity and the truth of God's Word, I like what Dr. Schaefer said. He said that we need not fear the Word of God, for in every place that the Word of God speaks, it speaks truth. And if it speaks truth, we need to be able to trust that truth and move forward through Scripture. And I thought, well, how true was the Bible in communicating those things that were necessary about the ark? Was God accurate? Did those things happen that in the way that the Scriptures proclaimed them to happen? I tell you what, I came away with a sense of affirming that all of history is in the hands of God, and that His Word actually is very, very true. And again, my point is that if it's true in these areas where it speaks to us, in other words, the Bible is not a book about how to build a boat. That big. It is not, is it? The Bible is not a boat. Bible is not there to tell us how to build a boat that big. But the fact is, a boat that big was built. And it was built by Noah and his family. The evidence for a flood, just by geology and just by the way things are. Is there a foundation in Scripture that when the Bible speaks, even in those areas, that it speaks true? That the waters came from not only above, but where? Below. And that you can almost look at the continents now and what? Push them together and see what happened. That was an expansion. And what I'm trying to tell you, that there's evidence where the Bible speaks. I think in so much as it speaks to give us the fact and the reality of the matter, dear friends, it speaks true. But why don't we have more facts in the Bible? We want details. We want all the dimensions of that boat. We want to know what the inside looked like, and we want to know how they did this and how they did that. But listen, my dear friends, listen. A person can know about all those details and be lost. They can be lost. They can know it all and be lost. The Scriptures, in so much as the Scriptures are true, when they speak of true truth in the events and the things that happen. But dear friends, the reason that the Scriptures just continue to go through is because the purpose is to reveal to you the purpose of God in salvation, to redeem His people from their sin. And I tell you this, now think about this. If God is so precisely accurate with regard to the things that He has revealed to us, for example, in Genesis, how much more accurate has God revealed Himself in His salvation through His Son? I talk to people today and they're so ambiguous and sometimes vague about the Bible. If I were to ask you, what was the primary purpose of the Bible? Well, I don't know, but it's a bunch of nice stories. I had to read some of it in literature class, you know. I find that in this day and time how many do not understand the very nature of the Bible. I like the passage in Hebrews, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is able to judge the thoughts between joint and marrow. That's think about that. The Bible, the Word of God, is dynamic as the Word of God. It's active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Has the Word of God ever cut you before? Boy, it got me. More than once. And what I mean by that is that the Word of God is dynamic and alive, isn't it? And God's people know that in their heart. They know that of the dynamicness of Scripture and its energy and its that it is from God. And my dear friends, it is able to tell us about the reality, not only about the world out there. So many people want to know the details of everything out there, but sometimes they don't want to hear the truth about what's in here. And what I learned is that the Bible is not only true with regard to the things that it speaks to out there and to all the things that it speaks true. But also when the Bible speaks, it speaks where? When the Bible speaks in the gospel of Jesus Christ, it speaks here. It speaks accurately with regard to who I am as a man. And it parses me just perfectly. And I can't escape it. And so when someone asks you, what is the Bible to you? You can say that it is the Word of God. Well, what is its purpose? Its purpose to give us all these facts of what happened way back there? No. As a matter of fact, it's a continuing story. Has it ever fascinated you about the veracity of Scripture? How many authors God used to proclaim the same truth? Does Scripture bear witness to Scripture? Are you amazed yet as you have studied Scripture of how this message in Genesis is corroborated in the book of Revelation. And what I want you to realize that that book, that Bible that you hold in your hand, my dear friends, think about how many authors whom God led to write. Let me ask you another question. Is it a consistent message? Is it an accurate message with regard to the history of it? My dear friends, I like the little situation in Jerusalem where they were digging in Jerusalem, and they were digging under David's abode, and they finally discovered some tablets and things, and it had David's name on it, and they brought it out and said, "This is wonderful. Now we have corroboration that, at least there was a King David." And I thought to myself, so you're going to dig for all those years, and you finally find the tablet with David's name on it, and you're saying still, well, the Bible might be true. We finally found the little clay tablet. My dear friends, if indeed we were able to go by and verify all the things of Scripture, would we be able to verify it? In other words, if we had been there, what about Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat? Would we be able to identify it and see it? Would we have been able to see those things that took place? Yes, we would have. Isn't it interesting? But there might be a David. You know, there just might be. And yet we have in Scripture. What I have found inevitably is that when one investigates the Scripture, they come to especially two things. They come to a knowledge of themselves and a knowledge of God through Christ, of who He is and His redemption, and of yourself and who you are. And praise be to God that the Scriptures do speak accurately. I'm just struck more and more by the accuracy of Scripture, of the truth in it. If the Bible spoke of a king called Hezekiah, if you had gone back, would he be verifiable as a king? And those things spoken of in Scripture concerning him were accurate? Well, they do know that Sennacherib lived in Assyria. And you see, it's not that the world doesn't know the history. It's just that they don't believe the truth of the heart of the purpose of the giving of Scripture. And that is to turn men and women and boys and girls, their hearts to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. The Scripture, in other words, gives testimony to itself that it is the Word of God, isn't it? Has the Lord proved His Word to you in your heart over the years? Has God proved His Word? Listen, has God proved His Word true in your heart over the years? Has He borne witness in your life? Wow, did you see that? Wow, isn't that beautiful? You know, for God so loved the world that He gave. You know what that means, don't you? Whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. My dear friends, if one thing in Scripture is true, how much more of Scripture is true? How much of it is true? Because you see, why, Lonnie, are you repeating that time and time again? Because, my dear friends, this day the Scriptures have been taken apart in liberalism, but they refuse to put it back together. Don't you know that's what's happened? Oh, well, you know, you believe this. Well, you know, Thomas Jefferson, he believed, you ought to see his little Bible. It is nice. The things that he saw in the Bible that he didn't like, he just cut out. So his little Bible, when you open it up, it's got passages all cut out. And then if he didn't like something, he would take something and he would paste it in. Something he liked, he would paste in. And all of a sudden his Bible is all cut up. My dear friends, what happens to a person that takes the Bible cafeteria style? The Scriptures don't even allow that, does it? It doesn't even make room for that reality that you can just pick and choose the parts that you like and you don't like. There are some parts that I do like. There are other parts that that are very difficult in many ways, difficult passages to understand. And so the Word of God affirms itself in our life. So we have a foundation to build on. If you build on the wrong foundation, you end up with a wrong conclusion. You know, I believe I'm an atheist. I don't believe that there is a God. And I believe that man is essentially good. What if you build on that premise of life? That there is no God and that man is essentially good. Think about the implications of that for all of life. Would you say that this person that believes that man is essentially good will eventually run into some difficulty? Not only about the world, but about themselves. They will ultimately have some real serious conflict, won't they, about justifying their position that all men are good at heart. You build on a wrong foundation, you end up with the wrong result and the wrong answer. And listen, my dear friends, I have found in this world today that there are those who hold a humanistic philosophy, a hedonistic philosophy, a pragmatic philosophy. They hold a philosophy of man. And my dear friends, I tell you, it's a poor foundation of truth to build on. And then you come to atheism. I'm an atheist, and I believe that man is essentially good. I don't believe that God is really there. Won't that be a real shock down the road? You know why God's given you the Bible? That you might know salvation through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be forgiven of your sins, and that you might have life in His name. And my dear friends, you know the other thing that He's done? He's given you a foundation for truth in His Word to build on. Isn't that great? Think about what you have in Christ. You have a foundation on which to build that is trustworthy, that is right, that is good. All Scripture is God-breathed and from God, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, by the way, that you might be a Christian that is equipped for every good work. What is the Word of God like unto you? What is it to you? Do you have a place in your heart for it? There were those in our Lord's day, in John chapter 7, who came to the Lord and they challenged the Lord and they said, "Are you greater than our father Abraham?" And He said to them, if you were Abraham's children, that you would do the things that Abraham did. But as it is, you are not of the father Abraham, but you're of your father the devil. And My Word has no place in your life. You are of your father, and My Word has no place in your life. My dear friends, much of the world today, it can be said safely that the Word of God today has no place in their life, and they show it. They defend that position. And they think it's tenable. They think that it's a worthy foundation on which to build. On which foundation will you build your life? The Word of God is indeed the Word of God for all of life. I'm glad that it showed at least just a little bit about what the ark was like. But man, when I saw that replica, I looked and I said, man, God, how true You are. And if You're true about this ark, and You're true about me when You speak of who I am, but You are true about Your redemption when You proclaim Your Son
and His gospel. Praise be to God. He shows us through life different things to impress us and say, has God proved Himself to you yet? Has He shown you in your life His truth? I hope you never lose heart for the truth of God's Word in His Son, Jesus Christ. May He be with you. May you build on the sure foundation, for you have the one to build upon. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word, how it speaks true. Wherever and whenever God speaks in His Word, He is accurate. His purposes are accomplished also in that Word. And we thank You for that. I send forth My Word, and it shall accomplish every purpose for which I send it forth, and it shall not return unto Me void. Father, the Word of God is living and active, and it is dynamic, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of our heart and our life. Father, we thank You for the sure foundation of the Word of God in Christ and His gospel. And if God, You are able to be accurate with those things that are there, but just did not give us the details. But Father, You have designed Your Word to show us Christ and how to be saved and made right with You through Your Son. Father, I wonder how true You could reveal that to our hearts. Father, we know that Scripture bears witness to Scripture, and the testimony of it through the years has been impeccable. We pray that You would give us hearts for Christ and hearts for that redemption. For it would be sad, Lord, to know that Word in one sense, to know the Word, the information, but not have the heart and the redemption and the salvation that that Word in truth offers in Christ. Lord, lead us in our life every day, living for Jesus Christ. We thank You for revealing Him to us, O Spirit of God, that He took the things of Him and revealed them to us in the Word. He bore witness in our hearts to Christ and of Him unfolded in Scripture. And Lord, beginning with all things on the road to Emmaus, He explained all things of Himself in Scripture. Did our hearts not burn within us as He explained the things of Scripture to us? Father, we pray that these burning hearts of ours would be satisfied in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.